Well, we had a great message last week. Adrian delivered a great message.
So good.
It's been how many years since I've been trying to get her to come up here? anyway, so it was good. And we're going to continue tonight on being baptized in the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
It's very, very, very important. Most American church kind of hides from it. But, you know, the interesting thing is when you're overseas, like I'm overseas, a lot of, especially in Africa and other places, a lot of them, a lot of the believers are Spirit-filled overseas. It's amazing. And, of course, you know, here in the United States, there's a lot of us too, so I'm not saying there isn't. But it's interesting, the dynamics. When I was in Africa, it's interesting because, like, one of my, he's now the dean of the school at Rhema, but he was talking about, he's been, you know, doing work in and out of Africa also, and he's talking about he was also way back in the bush, and they had a Kenneth Hagin book there. You know, they had Brother Hagin books there. So it's interesting to see that. And I remember when I worked at Rhema, one of my jobs was international. I did international sales, and I did a lot. I mean, we'd have, you know, the pallets. I would send multiple pallets full to Nigeria and other places, And I remember Pastor Hagin going and preaching in Nigeria, and they were like, he had like a presidential limo, and I mean, it was like, wow. I mean, so, you know, here it's kind of, but over there, it's, you know how like the rock stars always say, I'm huge in Japan, you know? Well, it's kind of like that. I mean, you know, some of these, it really is, they really value this message. And here it's kind of, some people have kind of an attitude about it. But again, we still love people. We're not against people at all. And it's just like anything else, you know, like the Apostle Paul talks about, hey, I was a heathen at one time, you know, and I was, you know, Pharisee of Pharisees, meaning I was, you know, thought I knew it all, but I didn't until I met Jesus. And then he'll wreck your playhouse. Amen. He'll mess things up for you big time. And then, yeah. So Adrian's laughing at me because I've been really getting into the night. I'm going to talk about it. It's okay. I'm really getting into like the Hasidic Jews and everything. I'm really watching that. I'm watching their dancing and stuff. And I told, and Adrian's like, what are you watching that? It's just crazy. But I'm so fascinated by that culture because, you know, I couldn't see a bunch of white guys getting around holding hands and dancing around in circles and stuff. It's just hilarious to watch these. But it's culture though, right? I mean, I enjoy watching other cultures. You know, when it's in Africa, it's just the culture's different. You know, and they want to, for anybody with, you know, they consider elders or things like that, they want to carry your books, they want to do things for you. And to me, I'm like, I can carry my own book. But it's culture, right? They want to honor people. And here we don't, sometimes we just don't have the concept of honor, right? Which is, and so it's just these different cultures is very fascinating. But when you get into some of these things, we see receptivity for people. But I still think, you know, it comes down to people are people. And we all want God. We all have a void in our hearts for God. Some people fill it with perversion or drugs or whatever. They don't know that. But there's that hole. There's that vacuum that when we come, and God only fills that vacuum for us. You know, and obviously we've all sinned and fall short of the glory of God. But through that process, Christ redeemed us. He, you know, died on the cross for us, provided salvation for us, but there's so much more that God wants us to have. Not just, hey, I've you know, got the certificate, I was saved this day and that, and this is what happened. But God wants to impact us. He wants to brand us. He wants to brand us, and that through the Holy Ghost. So when we're born again, Romans 10, 9, and 10, we can definitely read that. In fact, let's go there first of all. Romans chapter 10. This is a scripture talking about salvation. I'll let you get there. I love Brother Hagin. Kenneth Hagin, he'd always say, you know, being saved without baptizing the Holy Spirit, it's like washing your feet with your socks on. It just, you're doing something, but it just doesn't feel quite right. You know, there's just some things in your life that just until you receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, you know, I'll just say this. Everything you see on, you know, we were just talking about some supernatural things online. Or, you know, those things don't happen normally to people who aren't baptized in the Holy Spirit. I'll just say that right now. And Brother Hagin is right. Being baptized in the Holy Spirit is the gateway into the supernatural. Now, when you're born again, that is a supernatural experience. It is a very supernatural experience. But I'm talking about experiencing the other side, the kingdom side, to be able to open those floodgates up. And so we'll start in Romans 10, 9 and 10, and it says, verse 9, talking about being born again, this is the Apostle Paul. He's writing to the Romans here, people in Rome, and he's writing this letter, and he says that if you will, talking about being born again, that if you will confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. Now, that's not hard, is it? It just is you are confessing with your mouth, yes, Jesus, you are Lord. What does Lord mean? He calls the shots from here on out. See, a lot of people, they like Jesus as Savior. You know, I want to be delivered. I want to be saved from hell. I want to be saved from these things. But Lord is a whole other connotation. What it means is anything you say, I am bound to obey. See, we don't live in a kingdom. We live in we don't live in a democracy. We live in a republic. So people say, oh, we're, you know, the democracy. We don't live in a democracy. We live in a republic. Yeah. We live in a republic. We don't live in a democracy, right? We're not all voting on every little silly thing. No, we appoint, we live in a republic, so we appoint leadership. They go on our behalf. And so we live in a republic. We don't live in a democracy. But the problem is we get our earthly, how can I say, government confused with our spiritual. We live in a kingdom. You know, this is why too many churches and just too many, like, that's why the Bible warns against hirelings, because pastors will come in, they're hired by the people, and then they do and say everything the people want, and then people throw a fit, and it's just, it's a big stinking mess. I don't want anything part of that. But the point is, we live in a kingdom, and what kingdom says, Jesus is like, hey, we're going to do this. He tells us in the Word we need to do certain things. We need to do that. We need to live right. We need to talk right. We need to do the right things. And so, and that's how we've gotten so far off, because many ministers think that they have a right or a voice in what the gospel says. I'm sorry, but we just don't. We don't. Everything's set in stone in Scripture. Now, we're discovering more things about it personally, right? But I don't dictate what sin is. The Bible says it very clearly. And for example, like Galatians. I mean, you know, what is sin? What is righteousness? What are the things that are going to happen? You know, we got people coming in saying, well, there's no hell. You just die, you're just going to, you know, float away. You know, there's like Seventh-day Adventists and other people out there that are, some sects of those that are saying those things, right? You know, we've got people, ministers I used to listen to. This is interesting because we have ministers just this week that are now has this big hoopla about all this other stuff. And the, you know, the charismatic movement, one preacher said, don't listen to anything I've said on this subject and don't listen to this. Well, thank God I don't listen to you, because I read the Bible, right? And I also have really godly men and women, other people that I submit to that are solid. They've been saying the same things for decades. Well, that's good, right? I mean, be kind of Mickey Mousey if I came up here and said one thing one week and the next week said something different, and I'm never consistent on anything. But anyway, so we don't have a choice and a decision on what we think. Well, I've interpreted the Scripture this way. Well, I don't believe this part of the Scripture. You know, we've got people that they want to dissect things. You know, we get in Acts chapter 2, we have whole groups of people that kind of avoid that, you know. 1 Corinthians chapter 13 through 15, and you know, it talks about speaking in tongues. Well, we don't talk about that. We don't talk about this. Well, either all of the Bible is correct or none of it is. We don't pick and choose what happens. So, but anyway, I had a guy that Adrian and I, when we were living in Oskaloosa, there was a guy I listened to all the time, had preaching tapes of his, which is great. And, you know, he loved his music. He had a great church in Tulsa. And then all of a sudden, he just went universalist and just said, well, we're all going to go, you know, doesn't matter who we are or whatever. When we die, we're all just going to go to heaven. Well, I'm sorry, that is not what the Bible teaches at all, right? There's a lot of scriptures Jesus talks about hell, about you don't want to go there. And obviously, if we're all going to go to heaven, what's the point of Jesus coming, right? Then there's no purpose for Jesus to be here and to die for our sins if we're all just going to go to heaven anyway. So the point is, when we're going down this path, people are going to get off course, right? Many people say, well, you don't need the tongues. You don't need the baptism of the Holy Spirit. You don't need to be saved. We need it all. We need water baptism. We need to be saved. We need to be baptized in the Holy Spirit, right? We need these things. If God tells you you need it, then who am I to say you don't need it? The Bible says it's valuable for you. Well, then there's obviously some benefits. Tonight we get around to it. We're going to talk about 10 benefits of being filled with the Spirit. Speaking in tongues, there are benefits for this. This isn't just something that I made up, or, you know, it's just a bunch of wacko people that decide these things. I've never had any real supernatural experiences until I got baptized in the Holy Spirit. And guess what? If you don't want real supernatural experiences, that's fine, because God's not going to bother you with them. But you know what? You are going to have a lot of them when you get to heaven. I mean, you know, a lot of these people, they don't want to have the baptism of the Holy Spirit. They don't want to have these things. That's fine. But you realize when you step on the other side, your whole existence will be supernatural at that point. You're not getting away from it, whether you're saved or not. I mean, you're going to be thrust into the supernatural when you take your last breath. That's all there is to it. So you might as well get used to it on this side, dealing with and interacting with the Holy Spirit. Amen. Because, but it is a pleasure. See, that's the thing. People are so scared. You know why they're scared? Because they've heard dumb things, right? They've heard, you know, stupid things about, you know, people who are speaking tongues or demon-possessed. Okay, I'm telling you what right now. If Jesus told somebody to do it, him and the devil aren't, you know, have a little side hustle going on, say, okay, I'll let you do this and you can do this. There's none of that. There's none of that at all, right? So nobody in the Bible was demon-possessed when they spoke in tongues. In fact, we see, I've outlined a few weeks ago, you need to read through that, Acts chapter 8, Acts chapter 10, Acts chapter 19, Acts, you know, all the way through it. There's like five accounts of being baptized in the Holy Spirit, and every time there was joy. Every time people, there's either joy, you can see the manifestation of the Holy Spirit, there's joy. When Philip showed up in chapter 8, there was healings, there was manifestations, people were delivered from demons, people were healed, there was joy. It says there was great joy in the city of Samaria. Then Peter and John show up, and then we see what? Baptism of the Holy Spirit. If Philip, he got people saved, he healed people, he did things. If that was enough, then the church would not have sent Peter and John to follow up with the baptism of the Holy Spirit, right? And then we also see that there, Philip, well, after that one time, he was whisked away and he was with the eunuch from Ethiopia, right? We also see that baptism water is very important. So we see all of these accounts throughout Acts where people are born again, they're saved, baptized in the Holy Spirit, and they're baptized in water. All of these things are vital, aren't they? Because it's like anything else. God doesn't put things in the Bible just for trivia's sake. There's very specific reason why it's put in there at a certain place, at a certain time, in this spot, right? When you read Genesis, for example, Genesis is not a chronological order. I mean, it jumps all over the place when you read it, right? I mean, it talks about, you know, I mean, the beginning talks about over here, he made the heavens and the earth, and then it talks about making man, then he jumps back to making man again, finishing up, and then because there's just not necessarily in chronological order. And the Bible's not necessarily in chronological order, but there's a reason for that, right? There's a reason for that. Very specific. And then you see thousands of years of history, and then boom, we end up with this guy named Abraham. And there's a lot of time spent on Abraham. But there's only like just a few chapters on creation. Why? Because Abraham is our father, and there's very important information about covenant that we need to get right in there. Right? So God, you know, you're thinking, well, man, from there to Abraham, there's a lot of time and a lot of, doesn't go into a lot of detail. And that's okay, because God is like, this is what you need to focus on. You need to focus on my covenant. And what does the covenant mean? It means everything I have is yours, and I'm going to take care of you. And there's an exchange there going on. And because of the covenant, we see somebody that has covenant. I know I'm way up topic here, but I feel like it's important. Abraham cut covenant with God. And then what happened was, Abraham now, because he's covenant and he understands covenant, he can go to him and now he can intercede for people that are in Sodom and Gomorrah. Very powerful. Well, you and I can have that covenant, actually greater covenant than Abraham had. But see, God spends so much time on a covenant with man, creating the covenant with man through Abraham, that we all now have the blessing of. Genesis chapter 3, let's just turn there. I'll read it to you. Genesis chapter 3. So you got to realize something here with the Bible. All throughout Scripture, God is increasing blessings on us and increasing knowledge and revelation, right? You read Job. Job had no clue about God, right? Just understood some things. He had a fear of God. But, you know, when we base our theology on Job, we're in trouble. We can't base our theology on Job. Because, again, here's Job. I mean, he doesn't really know anything. He's got knuckleheads for friends, right? He's got a wife that, you ever notice how the devil came in and killed his livestock and everything, but he kept the wife there. not against wives, but I'm talking about the person who was a complete nag and said, just curse God and die. Devil's like, she's doing a good enough job. We'll keep her around. Yeah, she has value. I kind of like her. Yeah, right? And then the knucklehead friends are around too, right? That are giving horrible advice. Well, they don't know anything. But what does it tell us? I mean, we just look at Job, but just it culminates to, guess what? No matter what you do, God is still going to bring you out of it. Hello? I mean, I don't want to get super deep theological in Job, because I look at it and say, okay, you know what? He lost everything, but God brought it all back to him, and he overcame the devil and the enemy, and he still was walking on his two feet afterwards, and he came out better on the other end. The end, goodbye. Okay? I know there's a lot more in there on Job, but what does that mean? It just means, where are we going to base our theology? Where are we going to? We've got to base it on what God spends a lot of time on. Anyway, Galatians, right here. And it says here, I want to start in verse 11, but that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, right? It is evident, for the just shall what? Live by faith. When we call on the name of Jesus, it's just faith, right? I can't see Jesus. Can you see Jesus? No. But I believe he exists. But he does exist. The Bible says here in Romans chapter 1 that we can just walk outside and see the proof of God. You do. I mean, even when you get into, I'm not a scientist, but I will tell you, when you get into DNA, studies and everything, every single thing has a code. And what scientists call that is what we call intelligent design. And it is, because of God. It's intelligent design. It means every single thing has a code in it. A DNA code. And last time I knew it, you have these monstrous computers just to break the code. Just to be able to line it all up, right? And so it's just extremely complex code. Well, that stuff just doesn't happen. Everything that we see, everything is intelligent design, which is God. And what is that? You just look at it, you just look outside, and you're like, okay, this is great. So verse 13, I'm going to skip down. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, everything that hangs on a tree. Here we go, verse 14, that the blessing of Abraham might come through on the Gentiles through Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. What does that mean? That means this, that everything Abraham had that came on him and the Jews and the Hebrews, Jesus Christ at the cross paid the price. Now, when we accept Christ as a Gentile, all of those blessings now come on us. That covenant is ours now. What's that mean? It just means we can come to God. And that's being born again. That means we're transformed. So we look at Romans. Romans 10, and then we're going to 10. If you confess with your mouth Jesus, shall believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. For with the heart, man believes unto righteousness, right? And with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. So it's two things. You say it with your mouth, believe. With your heart, man believes unto righteousness, and with your mouth, confession is made unto salvation. So you believe and you speak. It's not hard. See, the gospel and the word, it's so, how can I say, interdimensional. There's so many dimensions to the word that person, even my level, can understand it, right? I mean, it's just, you can understand these things. Or you can go in the depths of knowledge. There's an endless depth to the word that it just will never end. You can get so intricate with the word and just into the spirit realm and in depth in the word and study that it's just going to keep the most intellect person busy for eternity, right? And I've read the Jewish scholars when I read that just Genesis chapter 1, many scholars have spent years and years just studying that scripture because there's so much depth there, right? There's just so much there. Within the first three verses, there's just so much in the Hebrew that they study. It's just mind-boggling. God is so... And then I met a guy, Grant Jeffries, who was on the Bible codes, and you can take the Bible in the original Hebrew, and there's certain codes in there that you can decode. I had a conversation with him in Denver one time. But now you can take and go through the Hebrew codes, and there's messages in there, right? There's one about Trump. There's one about Obama. You can do all kinds of stuff. I'm just saying that God is so infinite in his wisdom. I don't doubt that. You can take the Hebrew, and there's things in there that it's just mind-boggling, right? Because that's God. He can do whatever he wants to. He's far beyond me. That's why the Bible says, lean not to your own understanding. Because my understanding is like this big, and God's like, okay, I give up. There's just so much with God, right? When we study the word and we get into this thing, and why is this? Why am I saying all this stuff is important? Because the Holy Spirit's our teacher. Because I can have this word here, and for example, before I was baptized in the Holy Spirit, I mean, I'd read things. And I understood things, but when I became baptized in the Holy Spirit, it became spiritually alive to me. It unlocked something in me. And so that's why it's important, and there's other things, but let's talk about 10 reasons why praying in tongues is important. Number one, let's look at Acts chapter 2, verse 4. And they're just so wonderful. I mean, the baptism of the Holy Spirit is fantastic. Acts chapter 2, verse 4, it says, this is after Jesus died. He told the disciples, which later became apostles, in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, stay in Jerusalem. There's a gift I'm going to give you. It's the Holy Ghost. He's going to come upon you. And then after that, you'll be witnesses. You'll receive power. Then the 120 believers are up in this upper room. Acts chapter 2, verse 4. And they're waiting. They're not knowing. They're like, I don't know what to do. And it's the day of Pentecost, which is holiday. And so we're seeing that verse 4. And they were all, everybody say all, filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. So the Holy Spirit came, the people spoke in tongues, and the Holy Spirit gave them utterance, right? I had the misconception that, I thought when I was about 11 or 12, when the Holy Spirit came upon me, that the Holy Ghost was going to make me speak in tongues. And that's not true. He gives you an utterance, and you're the one that speaks it out. But what I want to focus on here is this is the initial time. This is it's what we call the initial evidence that you have the Holy Spirit, the evidence of the Holy Spirit, okay? Now, there's multiple experiences, but when you're born again, the Bible talks about 2 Corinthians 5:13. It says, we are now new creatures. So when you're born again, like we just read there in Romans, your spirit man's changed. On the inside, you're a new creature. We got two goofy dogs at home. And there's our neighbor has some dogs too. So what do? When the dogs start barking, our dogs don't meow. They bark, right? So they're like, we're going to get on. They don't do it very often, but sometimes they get annoyed and they'll bark, you know. Or somebody rings the doorbell, then they'll bark, you know, like, I'm serving a purpose here. So I'm not sure what that is yet, but other than, no, they're good dogs. But the point is their nature, what? They bark, right? Cats meow. It's our nature. So when you're born again, your nature should change. Should change from that. It should change from, you know, kind of a dog-eat-dog world mentality to your change. Now, it doesn't mean that your thinking may instantly change right away when you get saved, because that's something you got to work on. We see in Romans 12, 1 and 2, right? There's two things after you get born. Number one, you got to change your thinking. And number two, you got to get your body under control, right? And the Bible says this is just reasonable thing for you to do. It's not even like super awesome. It's just like, this is reasonable for you to do. But God takes care of our spirit, doesn't he? He makes our spirit born again. Now we have to feed our spirit with the word, reading the word and things. But so that's being born again. But when we're baptized in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit comes upon us, just like we just read here. Acts chapter 2, the Holy Spirit comes upon us, and then the believers speak out in tongues. That speaking in tongues, that's the evidence, that's the proof in the pudding that you are baptized in the Holy Spirit. You have the Holy Spirit living upon you, right? And so, and I've already gone through, you can listen to the other ones in the past. Four out of the five accounts in the book of Acts, they all, when they were baptized in the Holy Spirit came upon, they all spake in tongues. The only one that doesn't is the Apostle Paul on the road to Damascus when the Lord knocks him off his horse and says, hey, why are you persecuting me? And then he says, Lord. So he's born again at that point, right? But we see in Corinthians that he says something else. He says, I speak in tongues more than you all. So we know that he did speak in tongues, all right? So that's the only one that says, doesn't say automatically. So what it is, it's the initial proof in the pudding that you have the Holy Spirit on you. Now, tongues is not a person, but the Holy Spirit is. It's very important. People go, well, do you have that tongue stuff? You have no idea what you're talking about, right? I have a person, the Holy Spirit, which is part of the Godhead, right? Last time I checked. Part of the Trinity, meaning God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And then there's debate, you know, but it's Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Those three all in one, right? Number two. Tongues is, we're not going to get through this tonight, that's okay. Tongues is for spiritual edification. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4. And these things are for people who want this. You know, not everybody, which I have no idea why. But so, you know, wonderful. If you're wanting to connect with God on a deeper level, this will definitely help you connect on a deeper level. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, 4. It says, I think I've got, hold on a second here. 14, sorry, I got 14, 2 and 14. The 1 is off. I left off a 1. Oopsie. 14, 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 2. And then verse 4. But verse 2 says, for he, or we could say she, speaks in an unknown tongue, speaks not unto men, but unto God. So when we're speaking in tongues, we have the baptism of the Holy Spirit come upon us, or the Holy Spirit come upon us, and we receive that gift of speaking in tongues. We're not speaking unto men, but we're speaking unto God. It's something that we're ministering to the Lord on, okay? Which is one aspect. And we don't have time to talk about, there's different aspects of speaking in tongues, all right? I'm talking about the personal prayer time that you have with God. Okay? That's what we're talking about tonight. So it's something where, just again, an experience you have with God. We're not talking about in a church setting or whatever. Again, we're just focused on as a believer. And so again, he that speaks in an unknown tongue speaks not unto men, but unto God. So we are speaking to God. People don't understand it normally. I'm going to say normally. For no man understands him, howbeit in the spirit, he speaks mysteries. So, you know, it's natural not to understand this, because what it is, we're speaking mysteries, right? I've said it before that, you know, you don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. You got a plan. You know, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do this, or Monday comes along, I'm going to go back to work, I'm going to go blah, blah, blah. But you don't know exactly what's going to happen, do you? But the Holy Spirit does. So often when we're praying things out, we are praying out mysteries often we don't know about. And the devil's frustrated about it because he wants to know everything that's going on. We know he doesn't need to know what's going on. All right? He doesn't know anything. He doesn't know anything anyway. And in verse 4, it says, he that speaks in an unknown tongue, here we go, edifies himself. That means builds himself up, builds he or she up. It's something when you do it, you are spiritually pumping yourself up, right? Watch the Sunday Night Live with Dana Carvey, and I don't remember who the other guy, where they go, we had to pump you up, you know, and they're making fun of Arnold Schwarzenegger in that skit, you know, and they got their, you know, muscles all puffed up with toilet paper or whatever. But that's what the Holy Ghost does, right? When you're praying in tongues, you're pumping yourself up. You're building yourself up with holy faith, right? Jude 20 says what? But ye beloved, praying in the Holy Ghost, building yourself up in your most holy faith. They're talking about that word. It's like a battery. It's like you're charging yourself up, right? Think about batteries. They leak over time. You and I were leaky, okay? Kind of sounded weird, didn't it? But it just means that when we're praying in tongues, we build ourselves up. We charge ourselves. We're like the battery charger, right? And so I like that. He that speaks in an unknown tongue edifies himself, but he that prophesies edifies the church. So again, there's a church function. We're not talking about that tonight. We're talking about you, just your personal time with God. John chapter 14. Let's look at that. John chapter 14. John chapter 14. Verse 16. You know, the Bible talks about my people perish for what? A lack of knowledge, don't they? You don't know what you don't know. And I said this before, though, you know. Basically, I mean, when I was a kid, I saw people baptized in the Holy Spirit and nobody knew any how to do it. You know, basically it was like a Sunday night service. That was kind of our Holy Ghost time. You know, Sunday was normal church service. Sunday night was that. And then Wednesday night was more like a Bible study setting. But anyway, but you know, we'd sit there and, you know, I remember people up there at the altar. We'd all go up to the altar. We'd all pray, you know, and you're like, okay, I pray for grandma and grandpa and my dog and my cat and blah, blah, blah. And it's like, run out of stuff here to pray for. But we're going up, and one time I had some lady on one side of me going, okay, let go. And another guy when they're praying for me is like, hold on. I'm like, what am I doing here? You know? And I don't know what's going on. Help me. I don't know what to do here. And so there was no teaching of anything. You know, it was just kind of like, you get it. And I was like, well, you know. And I thought the Holy Ghost was, you know, because I watched these people in the church that did it. And I thought, you know, oh man, the Holy Ghost is moving their mouth and doing everything. That's what I thought as a kid. You know? I didn't know any different. Nobody taught anything. Like I said, we were just like tongue-talking Baptists. I mean, it was like we were kind of more, seemed like Baptist theology, but then we were kind of like just had the tongues thing thrown in there, and it's the only best way I can describe it. So there wasn't any teaching. It's just like, if you got it, you got it. And then it just seems like if you're hung around long enough on a Sunday night and, you know, enough people pounded you on the back and you did something weird and wiggle whatever, or something happened, I don't know, you know. And so there was no form, no understanding, no teaching on it at all. But I was hungry for it. Why? Because I just saw the people in my church that had the baptism of the Holy Spirit. We went through quite a few youth people back then at this church that I went to. We'd have a bunch of different youth leaders that were kind of doing the youth at that time. And this lady, her and her husband, you know, she was time. I mean, back, this is like, I'm dating myself, but you know, this was long, a few years ago. And she was like really dated back then, but she'd always, you know, she's always, she'd always talk. Her name was Bev, and she'd always talk like this, you know, those people that are really super religious voice and everything, you know. And I'm like 13, and she's like freaking me out anyway, because I'm like, she probably knows all the crazy stuff I've done, and she's probably going to say something to my mom and dad or whatever. I just know it. God's going to tell her something, and, you know. So, you know, she was always, you know, this really soft, spoken, and very spiritual thing. And she's always had word of knowledge, and all these things happen. You know, and then I remember one time we were at her house, and again, I hadn't baptized the Holy Spirit. I wanted, but I didn't know anything. And she's talking about, she's like, you know, the other night, had an experience, an angel came, and he touched my face, and I'm like, whoa, okay, I'm weirding out here, you know, I'm 13 years old, and I'm flipping out, right, and we're at her house, you know, a couple of other teenagers are talking about, it was right here, and I'm like, you know, awkward, because I had an experience, I didn't know anything about it, right, and this lady is just starting to talk about these things, and I'm thinking, if an angel manifest right here, I'm going to say something not good, and I'm going to do something not good, eh? Right? I'm about to wash my pants after this is over with, right? I'm thinking, I don't know any. Why? Because I wasn't expecting that, right? Because I hadn't been baptized in the Holy Spirit. Those things weren't accustomed to me. And so when I'm listening to her talking about things, I'm thinking, that is so far out. But why did I have fear? Because I hadn't been communing with the Holy Spirit. See, if you have the baptism of the Holy Spirit, none of this sounds weird. It's just natural, right? Because you're fellowshipping with the Holy Spirit. Any byproducts of the Holy Spirit are going, yeah, I've seen things, you know, in the spirit realm, but it doesn't alarm you because you've been spending time with the Holy Spirit. So you're used to the presence of the Holy Spirit. And so, anyway, this lady was just, and she was our youth, and her husband were just really sweet people, but she would just, and then, she'd bust out into tongues and interpretation real loud, and I was, you know, whoa, that lady. And she had all talking about all these spiritual experiences. Well, again, it's so foreign to my thinking because I didn't know how to get there, right? There's no teaching on it. There was no, hey, you can do this too. It was all just, I had this experience, stinks to be you kind of, you know, scenario. You know, it was like, I'm experiencing all these things. But tongues reminds us of the Spirit's indwelling. We are, what it is we are recognizing the Holy Spirit. John 14, verse 16, and it says this, this is Jesus speaking, I will pray the Father, and he will give you another comforter, here we go, that he may abide with you forever. Verse 17, even the Spirit of truth, here we go, whom the world cannot receive. Why can't the world receive the Holy Spirit? Why? Because they don't fellowship with him. They don't know. See, that's just like me. Back in, I remember sitting in Bev and her husband's living room with some other teenagers there as a kid, talking about these angelic experiences and this and that, and I'm freaking out, right? I'm flipping out. I'm like, this lady is crazy. She's got something stuck in her beehive or something. It was like, you know, it's the sweetest lady in the world, but she was like this creepy, yeah, it was just this soft, everything was just, this is really strange for me. But I hadn't had the fellowship of the Holy Spirit like she did. See, it was natural to her. And that's what Jesus is talking about here. He says, I will pray the Father, he will give you another comforter that he may what? Abide with you forever. Here we go, verse 17. Even the Spirit of truth, which is the Holy Spirit, whom the world cannot receive. Again, I just say this. Not only can the world not receive it, but a lot of the church can't receive him either. Because he sees him not, neither knows him, but you will know him, for he will what? Dwell with you, and what shall be in you? We talked about this a few weeks ago. Jesus talks about two different experiences here. He said, with you and in you. Everybody always said, well, I got the Holy Ghost in me. Yeah, that's partly true when you're born again. But Jesus specifically says here, he will be what? With you and in you. Two different experiences here. Two different. My old pastor, he always said it was really good. He's like, being baptized with the Holy Spirit and being born again, it's like drinking cold water and then jumping into a cold pool. You have it inside you, and then it's all around you. Two experiences Jesus is talking about here too. So again, tongues reminds us of the Spirit's indwelling presence. When we are praying in the Spirit, when we're enjoying that blessing that God gives us, then what happens is often your spirit man gets stirred up, right? It's like Jude 20 says, but you beloved, praying the Holy Ghost, building yourselves up in your most holy faith. When you're praying in tongues, it makes us aware of the Spirit on the inside, because that Holy Spirit rests on the inside. I like this. Howard Carter mentions this. He's in Europe. He was part of the AOG years ago, but one of the oldest Bible schools. But Howard Carter mentions that we need to speak in tongues on a continuous basis for the rest of our lives. Again, when I was a kid, it was, and I think most of the, church body, when they think of being born again, it's a celebration, and it should be a celebration when you give your life to Jesus. But it's almost as if that's the end and you made it, but that's just the beginning. That's the starting line of a new life, right? But sometimes we act like it's an ending point. Oh, you made it in. That's great. Hallelujah. And then it's like, okay, let's have a potluck. And I say that there isn't any other teachings in other churches. We're not saying that. But what I say, it's a mentality sometimes. And I saw that too in churches that I attended where it was, when you got baptized in the Holy Spirit, it was a celebration. No, that's a beginning of a new life and a new lifestyle. And you speak in tongues. You're doing these things on a regular basis. Again, if we pray and worship the Lord in tongues, it will help us with issues in our life, right? You're going to fill yourself with the Holy Spirit, or you're going to let the world take over. Either one. Because you're going to leak at some point. Let's look at a couple other scriptures here. We'll kind of close things down. Romans 8:26. I remember the night, and this just talks about Brother Hagin had a meeting in St. Louis one night, because I know because we were talking about it. I'm like, hey, Brother Hagin's in St. Louis. And we hadn't been speaking in tongues very long, been filled with the Spirit. And I remember, I specifically know that they had a meeting that night in St. Louis. And I remember I hadn't just gone to bed, and I started praying in the spirit realm. And I'm going to have some other experiences, but while I was praying, I had a manifestation I shot up out of bed, and I had a visitation, right? Well, I don't think it's all just because of me praying. You know what I'm saying? But I think it's often people are praying in the Spirit, and that gives the Holy Spirit an open door. Again, we speak mysteries, open things up for other things, for other people, right? I know I prayed for people before that they have no idea that I'd pray for them. And the Holy Spirit will say, I need you to pray in the Holy Ghost for this person. Just pray in tongues for a while. Okay, great. You know, and the Holy Spirit will always, often, church we were in before, I remember one day we got to church, we're up Saturday night, and am I boring you with these stories? But anyway, I remember I woke up like about, I don't know, it was like midnight, 1 o'clock in the morning, and you know, early Sunday morning, and so I was praying, and I just felt like, I got to pray for an hour, so I prayed for an hour. And then I went back to bed. Anyway, I got up to church, went to church, you know, talking with other people. Well, the associate pastor and I were talking, and I said something, and I said, yeah. And I said, yeah, I was up praying. We were just talking about prayer and everything. And I said, yeah, I was up praying from like 1 to 2 last night. And there was some of us standing around, you know, because we're drinking coffee and, you know, other things. And he said, really? Because I was up from like 12 to 1 last night praying. And then somebody else was standing there was like, I was up from like 2 to 3. So while we were standing there, we noticed like 3 or 4 of us, God had a prayer assignment for each one of us, right? Each one of us was up, and the Lord was speaking to each one of us to pray for a different hour. Well, that probably wouldn't happen if one of us prayed and filled the Holy Ghost, right? Because I would not have been in tune with it. The point is this, that God has things, assignments for us to do. Most of the church, I mean, a lot of the church body has no clue or interest in some of the stuff, which is sad. But God wants people that are hungry for Him. Obviously, it's very important to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. Because why? Because there are assignments we need to accomplish that only are going to happen through pairing in the Spirit. I believe, and again, you can, well, I'm not taking credit for just, I believe many of the things that are happening in this nation now that have happened are because of people that are praying in the Spirit. And you begin to get to a spiritual level when you go to God and it's not your laundry list. And I believe the Holy Spirit opens you up to be able to be a vessel for, can I use the word, the Lord, not Savior, not sugar daddy, right? Most people think of, you know, a lot of people on TV, they're more interested in getting their fancy jets or their, you know, or their new Mercedes or whatever. I don't have anything against that. I don't. I think you should make as much money. I think you just make so much money to give the devil a hernia, right? I think you should just make so much money that it makes the devil puke. I think you should, I think every person should be extremely wealthy, right? I do. Yeah. I do. But again, wealth, you know, prosperity without purpose is poverty. It always is. Because guess what? You run out of toys to buy, run out of things. And really what we put here for other people. I mean, just pray for people, right? To help people, right? I remember watching Shaq O'Neal talking about, you know, we're kind of off base here, but I think it brings a point. Shaq O'Neal, if you don't know who he is, he's played for the Lakers and other some other teams, but he's played center for the Lakers. He and Kobe, he's played together. And anyway, he's talking about, you know, I've had every wild, you know, wild sports car you can think of and every crazy thing. I've had it all. But it was just really cool him walking into Walmart. You just, you know, asking kids, you have a bike? No, buy a bike. Stuff doesn't matter anymore, right? I mean, I'm just saying, like, even like my age, I mean, what am I going to buy anymore that that's going to change my lifestyle? I mean, what? Everything in my life, point in life, is just things that are just kind of icing on the cake, you know, just kind of cool or whatever. You know, I mean, most people in here, what are you going to buy that's going to change? Nothing, right? We live in America. I mean, most people are pretty prosperous. Even if you don't have anything, you're still, believe me, being in Africa, we've got it really good here, okay? Even when you think you don't, you've got it good, okay? I'm just telling you right now, everybody here's got it really good here. But my point is this, when you get, and I'm driving to this and we'll close here, but when you get to the point in your Christian walk when you want to be baptized in the Holy Spirit and your only call is like, God, use me for what you want today, that's what he wants, right? Rather than, God, please bring me that new Ferrari. God, I want that new dream house. God, I want this, I want this, I want this. It's like, well, that's great. God can help you, right? And again, how are you going to bless other people if you don't have money? I get it. You know, I'm all for having money. But when our life is like, God, how do I become a vessel? And that's why I pray lately too. It's like, Lord, how do I become more of a blessing to people, right? How am I going to get this message to more people? How can I bless more people? How can you use me to reach more people? Because at the end, I'm not saving anybody. You're not saving anybody. We're not doing any of this stuff. I can't do anything. You can't do anything, right? But it's only God working through us, Him touching other people, using you as a vessel to help other people so we can connect with other people and get out of here, right? And so I believe tongues, speaking in tongues, gives us an advantage, another advantage, because we have lots of advantages over the enemy, but an advantage over the enemy because we can pray out like Roe versus Wade. We can pray those things out in the spirit realm where there are just things that God needs to move. People here, do this, do this, do this. And in my little pea brain, I don't have the understanding what God needs to do to get from point A to point B, but He does. And when I'm praying things in the mysteries, in the mysteries, you know, I knew Roe versus Wade was going to be overturned because the Lord spoke to me about it years ago. Why did He speak to me years ago? Because I was praying in tongues, right? And we're going to see, and I'll tell you this right now, we're going to see some massive, massive change in our government, and I know what it is, because I already prophesied, I already spoke that Roe versus Wade was going to be overturned, and it did. Years ago I did. So, and our government is going to drastically change, and I know people are going to absolutely freak out. We will. Mark my words right now. 7 or 6, blah, 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 July, what is it, 9th, 2022. I'll put myself out there, right? And I know what it is going to be. I think some people here probably do too. But we're not going to see some people in office anymore. It's not because I want or don't want to. It's just it's going to happen. I know it is. The Holy Spirit spoke to me about some things. Just like I saw, Roe versus Wade, government's going to change, our financial system's going to change drastically. It's all going to happen. I know it's going to happen. It's going to happen. Just wait. Just wait. Right? It's going to happen. And I don't need to watch 22 people on YouTube. I don't know anything else. You know why I knew Roe versus Wade was going to be overturned? Years and years ago, because the Holy Spirit spoke to me right down here. I knew. Because I was praying in tongues. And I was praying out mysteries. And I saw this day coming. That's why it was like I just had a real emotional breakdown when it happened. Because why? Because when you see things in the Spirit, the Holy Spirit shows you. And you see it in the Spirit. And when it comes to pass, you're just like, thank God for showing me. You know, Lord, thank you for showing me these things. Thank you for using me as just one little vessel in this whole cog to help get this thing pushed over the edge. That's all I want. It's not about right or wrong. It's about, like, for example, seeing little lives saved and rescued. That's it. That's all I want. Nobody cares anymore. When you're praying things, that's like, Lord, I want your will. Just like Jesus said there in Matthew chapter 6. He said, not my will. He says, pray down what? Your will on earth as it is in heaven. And when we're praying in tongues, we are pulling down God's will into this earth. I was like, you know, people, whoa, that's new agey or whatever. No, we're pulling in from heaven's dimension into this dimension, into this realm. When we're praying things out, we are pulling God into this realm. We are inviting him in, and we're saying, we are giving you now the authority to do or what you want on this earth. So you've got to understand, when we sinned, we gave that authority to the devil. When Jesus came and died, he took back that authority that Adam gave to the devil. And when we're born again, he gives it to us. We're what we call the occupying force here on the earth. Jesus defeated the devil, but we've got to reinforce that. We actually have, as believers, the authority here on the earth. So when I go to God and I say, God, I am pleading with you to change Roe versus Wade, and I'm praying in the spirit realm, things will change. I don't care if you agree with me or not. I'm saying it happened, and I was on God's side, and that's all that matters, because he and I are a majority, right? And I'm praying for more things in the government to be exposed, and I have been for decades. And it's going to happen, right? It's not just because of me, because there are collective other people out here praying as well. And you can't read Proverbs and Psalms and say that the garbage that's going on in our government, the garbage that's going on in this world, the New World Order, all these things, that God won't let it go on because there is an iniquity point where he won't put up with it anymore and he's going to take care of it. Like Sodom and Gomorrah. And we also see there, when we see with Nineveh before Jonah went, in Genesis it said that the iniquity was not full yet. But there's a pushing point where God says, this is enough and I'm going to step in and I'm going to do something. But we need to be prayer warriors and we need to pray the thing out so that God can come in and do what he wants to. And that's part of being praying in tongues. We can pray down for his glory. We not only builds ourselves up, but we're now pulling God into this realm and saying, God, abortion is not in heaven. Okay, that's not your will. We need you, that blueprint, that in heaven, that love and that joy and that life-giving force of God. We need to pull it down into this realm. We need it here. Now, of course, there's other things we need to do too, right? We need to vote. We need to, you know, rattle the cages of politicians and everything else. We need to do our part, but behind and witness and obviously, but in this realm and stand up. But on this side, what do? We pray and we pray and we pray and we also do other things. But again, speaking in tongues, we can speak out mysteries, things we don't know what's going on. And you look at the news, there are things being exposed all of the time, and I believe it's because of saints praying. Why do you think all these people absolutely persecute us in the church? Because they don't like people like me exposing them. Because they like darkness. Right? And when it's brought out, that's why there's so much, how can I say, against a lot of these politicians that don't like the church, because we stand for righteousness, and when we pray, they're put in their place, right? They're exposed. Things happen, and they don't like it, and control's taken out of their hands. Well, guess what? It belongs to the people. We the people, right? It doesn't belong to politicians. God has given us this land. This is something that he established and was hijacked by the enemy, and we're taking it back. We are taking it back. And evil is being exposed, and it's because of praying people. Are you kidding? Are you like the devil's going to want to expose you in this stuff? Are you kidding me? No. It's praying people that are praying, and we're going to God, and we're saying, we are now coming to you, Lord. We are humbling ourselves. We are praying. And you're going to come, and you're going to heal our land. And it's because of praying people. And one last thing, too. As tongues, we pray for tongues. You are going into a deeper prayer level, right? Because, like I said, when all your thought, all your prayer time is about what your natural mind can conceive, you can get into a deeper spiritual realm, and you can pray out so many more things in the spirit realm than you can just in the natural, right? And God's basically like, I need to do a lot of things, so I just really need to bypass your rewire things and just bypass your mind here so I can kind of get things done on my end. Thank you, Lord. Just use me as a vessel. Just pray it out. Amen. It's awesome. But you're going to experience more things on a deeper level with God when you do pray in the Spirit. And it's for people who really want to go deeper with it. Everybody should do it. I mean, all 120 who are in the upper room, they all experience this. Hallelujah. Well, let's just close our eyes real quick, too. You know, just one thing, and we haven't really talked about it. Most of all the people that I prayed for received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Adrian, I prayed for, and you know, our pastor was really good at that, and so was Brother Hagen. Was such a good teacher, the baptism of the Holy Spirit. That baptism of the Holy Spirit, you know, if you are saved, first you need to be saved. And then you need to receive baptism of the Holy Spirit. And then you also need to get baptized in water. All very important. But tonight, if you have not received the person, the Holy Spirit, to come upon you, and you want to, nobody looking around, I want you to raise your hand right now, because we want to pray for you. Because it is an absolute blessing. Amen? Amen. I'll pray with you afterwards. Amen. And I just want, how many can say that praying in tongues, and you all can open your eyes now, how many can just raise your hand and say, if you're praying in tongues, about the Holy Spirit, it's a blessing to you. Amen. It's a blessing. Yeah. Amen. So Megan, we just prayed for her, and it was awesome. So, I mean, how do you want to share anything about your experience? Anything? What are your thoughts on that?
So before it happened, I just always thought that it would never happen for me. Like, oh, it's just for the pastors and the real believers of Christ, and unless you are like real tight with Jesus, you're not going to be able to speak in tongue, you know. And so
that was my thought too. Mm-hmm.
When I wake up in the morning and I'm in my Bible, and when I'm alone, that's when I
Do you notice a difference?
I do.
Yep. It's a big difference. Yeah. And the great thing is you just ask like you do salvation. Mm-hmm. You're just asking for it. And boom, you've got it. And it's not hard. People make it hard, but it's the easiest thing ever. Yeah. And the amazing thing is, a guy that I used to work with at Rhema, he's one of my good friends. we did a lot of traveling together. We worked together, but just to kind of give you kind of a perspective, when he got born again, he's like, I just felt on fire when I got saved, but when I was baptized in the Holy Spirit, I didn't feel anything. But I had just the opposite, where when I got born again, I didn't feel really anything. When I got baptized in the Holy Spirit, I felt like I was on fire. I mean, I thought I was like, oh my gosh, this is just incredible. So your experience is going to be completely different. Every person is going to be different. There is no set experience for anything. But you just receive it like you do salvation. You just ask the Holy Spirit, come and fill me. And you know what? It's just that easy, right? Because the gospel is easy. We make it hard. I've made it hard myself, and hopefully I haven't made it hard for you, but I'm just saying when I was younger, everything was a struggle. Everything was hard. I overanalyzed things. I didn't understand things. I was just like Megan, all these super spiritual people. They're touching angels and doing all kinds of crazy stuff. They're the ones getting all this stuff, and I'll just stay over here and eat the crumbs, right? But that's not it at all. So, amen. We just scratched the surface on this subject. We haven't even gone in depth, but yeah, it's a blessing, and hallelujah. Well, everybody have a great week. Amen. Thank you again. If you need help with that cake, let me know. All right? I'm here to help. I want to be able